And this is a continuation of our word teaching. And I understand that a couple of you may have forgot to bring your handy dandy handouts. And I brought a couple extras in case you did, Jesse. And we're going down through all of these. These are the importance of words, as we've talked about before. And it's amazing that the scriptures talk more about words than any other topic. And if it's important to the Lord about words, it's got to be important to us. And so for the last couple of weeks, because I don't want to do it in an overkill manner. I'd rather do a little at a time, bite off a little bit. You keep track of the scriptures that go with it. And take them home and meditate on them and think about them. It's kind of like plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. You know, where you take the little capsule and you drop it in the water, but don't drink it yet because you might choke on it until it dissolves. Well, that's not a very holy presentation, is it? That's the joy of the Lord in me. I have a difficult time containing it, so I choose not to. Speaking words of doubt and unbelief will bind God and his angels. That's one of the significant aspects of words. Learning to speak words that will enable the Holy Spirit and the angels something to work within our lives that's in line with his word. And it actually gives Satan permission to do some things in our lives. But it's all dependent on learning the words that we speak and making sure that they're in line with the scriptures. And we had a lot of fun just reading them down through. I tried it and it didn't work for me. Then last week, it's getting worse. You know, as long as you keep saying it's getting worse, it's going to keep getting worse. You need to put a stop to that foolishness. It just really, it's like that because we create the very thing that ensnares us. And that's the significance of this. So today, number three, I prayed and it didn't work out. I find that's rather contrary to scripture, but just to impress the point, Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, and actually 25 is important as well. I don't like to break Jesus' dissertations into sections because I'm not sure that he did. But these are some things to think about before you say, I prayed and it didn't work out. You know, this is so timely with the theme of the morning, talking about, like what you said, Peg, about how sometimes it can seem to have like a timeline, if you will, from the time you pray. So what do we do in the meantime, once we've made our prayer request known to the Lord? What do we do in the meantime? Keep believing. That's right. Verse 22, have faith in God. This really means have the God kind of faith. And did you know that one of the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians, that faith or faithfulness is one of those qualities, it's one of those fruit of the Spirit that he's deposited in us. We already have it. Here, it hadn't happened yet in the sense of indwelling in the person of the Holy Spirit, but now it is. It's constantly available. Have faith in God. And then Jesus said in verse 23, for verily, that means of a truth, it is a certain thing You can count on it. Jesus said so. And he gave his life. And do you know that God's word says that God honors his word even above his name? That's how important these things are. He says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain..." Anybody ever have a few mountains and molehills in your life from time to time? Do you know sometimes you got to speak to molehills before they become mountains? But you see, we got to be savvy with these things. We need to learn these principles, because you may not always be in a place where you can get a copy of this recording, or you might be somewhere without your Bible. You don't have any way to get out of a situation except begin to speak things. We speak things and dig a hole for ourselves while we need to speak things and get out. Let's go on. "This mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." That's really important. Doubt is an enemy, because if I allow doubt to come into my spirit, there wouldn't be anything happen here. You know, we come together in faith, we move together in faith as a body, we all have opportunities to speak. But if you doubt, you never give it a chance to take root and to manifest in the lives of others. Doubting, when you ask, generally about 99 and 44 hundredths% of the time, the answer is going to be no, because we squashed it with doubt. Two things that Jesus chastised his disciples mostly for. Do you know what they were? Unbelief. And what was the other one?
Yeah.
Doubt. Yes, doubt and unbelief. Doubt is you can be confronted with the truth and choose not to believe that it's true. That puts you in a different spot than unbelief. Unbelief says, "I don't care what it says, I'm not believing it." But doubt will question it. So the opportunity is still there for you to get some truth out of it, even though you may have some doubts. That's different. Unbelief is, you've made your decision. I'm just not going to believe it, and it's settled. With doubt, you still have an opportunity to release your faith. Not with unbelief. So that's why doubt is not to have doubt. I doubted once very instantaneously, and I have to interject some of my experiences in the mission field, because a deaf lady came to a meeting in Kenya. I go to tribal villages, and they come with bones in their ears and their nose, and you know, but in their tribal dress gear, so it's very, very remote. And they brought this deaf lady from a village, and I went to lay hands on her to touch her ear. And then the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, "Don't do that. Blow in her ear and I will heal her." And suddenly out of my own mouth I said, "Yeah, right." And I heard those words out loud, and it startled me because they came out of my mouth. Nobody else said it. Rick said that. "Yeah, right." And I was ashamed of myself, but the second, it was a fraction of a second. And I recovered from that, because I realized I shocked myself with such words. That the what I was told to do, I questioned and I doubted, but just for such a split second. And I did blow in her ear, and the Lord unstopped it, and she heard perfectly. And her sister is the one that brought her to the meeting. And in these villages, all these little villages, everybody knows everybody. And they just started, it's like singing in tongues at a high-pitched screaming almost. And all of it, they all began chattering. I don't know if you've ever been to a wedding, an African wedding or some celebration. There is just this exuberance of, it's like a chattering sound they make in their language. And they started doing that. and another person from the village got saved because of that miracle. And so I learned really quick. It happens here. Sometimes I just know, after praise and worship, don't go up to the podium. It's time to pray. But if I doubt that, I feel like I missed it, and you missed it because I did. And it's so important to, when we ask or we trust, we pray, we have to stand. Jesus said, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Now, that works against us too. People that say things in the negative context, if you will, they get so used to seeing those things come to pass, they just keep doing it. And then they can say, see, I told you so. Do you know anybody like that? Yeah, a few of you. So it's important what we pray is in accordance with the word. And that's why it's important to, you know, in the beginning when we get saved, I don't know about you, John, but the word was so brand new to me. I didn't even know there was any Holy Ghost. And I played in a band in Bellas Falls called Holy Ghost. We were holy rollers. I can tell you that. We were rocket rollers. Vinny knows some of the people I used to play with. That was the first time I ever heard Holy Ghost. And it wasn't. I laugh at my own foolishness. But I didn't know, like most of us don't. And about once you speak it, and you speak it in faith, you don't have to change your confession of faith. You release it, and you take the fruit of it even before you see it. And I prayed and it didn't work out. That is so... it's almost like trying something and you didn't like it. Kind of. Because it doesn't require you to have any commitment of patience. It doesn't require you to have any commitment of holding fast the words that you spoke. And so you're in limbo. You're neither hot, you're neither cold. You're just kind of standing in the middle. If you release your faith in something that you prayed for, no matter what it looks like, don't stop believing. Because once you stop believing, you shut yourself down from receiving. You know, a lot of things, what you see with your natural eye isn't really the truth about a lot of things. And when you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, it's really important that once you've prayed, to stand on it. And maybe in error, we prayed something that wasn't his will. But I'm going to keep standing on it until it's confirmed, until I know. Because we can at least do that. And to not be moved by what we see or what we hear. Now let's look at the rest of this. This is our little tidbit before lunch. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Notice how that's connected. That you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Not when you see it, but when you pray. That's when you believe. From the time those words come out of our mouths when we're praying, that's when we believe that we receive it, right then and there. Because that's when it happened. Something happens inside when you believe it the moment you pray. Your finger last week. That may not seem like a big thing, but if you ever drop a rock on your toe or smash your finger with something, you know, even the smallest parts of our body can be painful. So when you pray, that's when you release your faith to believe, not when you see it. Don't be like Thomas. Although Jesus still, he kept Thomas on. He was a good disciple, and he went on faithfully. And you know, it was Thomas who was the first Christian evangelist of the early church that evangelized India. Doubting Thomas. And the gospel came to a Hindu nation through a man who in the beginning was doubtful about who Jesus is, who Jesus was, what Jesus could do, and all the signs and wonders and miracles. Even in The Chosen, Thomas was the one that was a skeptic, and he had to write down everything and analyze it and make sure of what he saw. He was meticulous about it. But yet, even Jesus still commissioned him, still anointed him, still filled him with the Holy Spirit, and sent him out with the others. And he accomplished great things for the Lord. So don't let what you see or what you don't see dictate the measure of faith that you release. John talked about a mustard seed, because Jesus did too. It doesn't take a lot, but use what you have to the fullest and stand on it. And it's amazing how we think it takes big faith to move mountains. But if you're solid in the amount of faith that you do have, that'll move just as many mountains in your life. It really will. And let's see. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against anyone, did you ever try to pray and sing in tongues when you're mad at somebody? How'd that work out for you? Didn't go too well, did it? It's like trying to stick Jell-O with a fork. It just don't get it. So this is important. This is talking to the person that's praying. Did you notice that? Whatsoever you pray, if you have aught against anybody, get rid of that quick. Forgive quick. Because it can definitely hinder your prayers being answered. And that's a biggie. And he says, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. Now, we know this was before the cross and after the cross. The blood of Christ has been shed already on the mercy seat for us, but it's still our responsibility to be the first one to go to somebody if they've offended us or wounded us, and we hold a grudge against them for that. Our pleasure joy is always waiting for the other person to come to us. But Jesus puts the responsibility on us to be the first one to go to that person and ask for forgiveness if we've hurt them or wounded them or done them wrong in any way. We're not the called ones to sit back and wait for somebody to come to us. We're to go to them. And then, once you master that, you'll find that your prayer life is also going to flow much more freely. But if we hold grudges, if we got that kind of stuff going on in our lives, you're going to find that you'll be one of those, I prayed and it didn't work out. But you should say, I forgave, I prayed, and it worked out fine. If I were to take the gist of that portion of Scripture, I forgave first, then I prayed, and it worked out. So I'll leave that with you. Don't let it contaminate the mashed potatoes in your lunch today. But just think about these things. And see if maybe there might be an opportunity to, I call it, let God do an attitude adjustment. But we had that at communion. If you didn't receive it then, you still got time. Never too late with the Holy Spirit. Only if you die and your lips can't speak it anymore. Then it's too late.